coming up on The Potter's Touch.
I can tell you where not to go. I can tell you where not to stand. I can tell you what not to try. I can tell you how you gotta position yourself to get ready for what God is about to do in your life. The moment you give up on what you had in mind, God said, my plan, is better than your plan. And I told you that my thoughts towards you are not evil, but are peaceful, that you might have an expected end. Hello, everybody. I'm so excited. I greet you with Jesus joy, and we are celebrating mothers this week, and it's so appropriate to share this word with you. Congratulations to all the mothers everywhere for being collaborative in the creation of human souls. God has so highly favored you that he has partnered with you in giving life to the world. I pray you are celebrated and appreciated as we celebrate you during this season. In fact, today, this message really speaks to motherhood in a powerful and prolific way. The message is called Expectant Mothers. That ought to be all of you and some men too, because we want to birth the promises of God. We are looking at Ruth chapter 4, verse 13 through 19, and also Jeremiah 29, 11, 12. Life does not always go the way we planned it. You know that. Such was the case with Naomi. Everything was going well until the storms of life came in and made her lose hope. Yet she rose again. To every mother, to every person who's ever fell into the abyss of a problem and thought it was the end of your life, only to be resurrected, this word is for you. When Naomi got married, she never thought that there would be a famine. She expected happily ever after. She expected everything to fall in place. She expected white lace and promises. She expected a picket fence and a nice house and a bunch of kids running around the house. She expected to be romance. She expected to be love. Isn't it funny that expectation, which is a source of energy, can also create such frustration when expectations are not realized? Yeah. When expectations are not realized and all of a sudden there is a famine and she has to flee her home. It is the things that you don't see coming that break your heart. It is the things that you didn't anticipate that begin to challenge your faith. It is the unexpected struggles that you encounter that begin to intimidate the soul. Nobody told her, after you marry this guy, you're gonna have to move out of your country and out of your house and away from your kin people, that there's gonna be a famine so severe that people are gonna be dying all around you and you're gonna have to make a decision. Am I gonna stay here and risk dying in the famine or go somewhere else? Nobody told her that she'd have to make hard choices or tough decisions and wonder whether she was doing the right thing or not. But they watched Naomi packing up the mules and loading up the goats and getting everything ready. Where are you going? Naomi said, we're leaving out of here. We don't know how long this famine is going to last. Where are you going? We're going to Moab and we're going to load up everything. Come on and get on the mule and get on the wagon. We've got to go. We've got to get out of here. I've got something to protect and I can't let my sons die in the famine. I can't let my husband die in the famine. I can't let my marriage die in the famine. She said, I've got to move. Touch your neighbor and say, sometimes you got to move. You can't go down with the ship. It might look good, but don't go down with the ship. Sometimes you got to load up what you got and protect your investment and head out for someplace else so that you can protect what you have. And she began to protect what she had. Touch somebody and say, protect what you got. Got down in Moab and got settled down in Moab and started eating real good, started drinking real good. The famine was over. But isn't it funny how the moment you get victory over one thing, here comes something else? Where are my experienced folk? Make some noise in here. But before you can shout over one victory, I survived the famine. I made it through the storm. I've been through the test. Here comes another attack on your life. And you solved this over here, and here comes that over there. Oddly enough, Naomi had protected her sons and her husband and her family against the famine. And the famine didn't kill them, but they still died. They died, and they weren't hungry. They died, and they weren't thirsty. You can solve one problem, but your problem has a twin. Survived the famine, made it out of that, celebrating a victory. We can make a life in Moab. Everything's going to be good, starting all over again. It might not be easy, but we're going to make it. And they started making it, and she lost a son. And then she lost another son. And then she lost a husband. And it was the unrealized expectations that eroded who she was. Unrealized expectations eroded her name, changed how she saw herself, ceased to see herself as Naomi, which means my joy. Somebody had named her Naomi when she was still a baby, fresh, new, and young. My joy, here comes my joy. Come here, my joy, look at your joy. Come here, joy, come here, joy. Yeah, she's coming. But expectations, when they are not realized, will change your personality. She started out being called Naomi, which means my joy. But after she lost her son and lost another son and lost her husband, she said, don't call me that anymore. My name shall not be called Naomi. Don't call me my joy. There's no joy left in my life. How come you lost your joy? I lost my joy not just because I lost my husband and I lost my two children. I lost my expectation. I want to talk about the slow death of wrongful expectations. The slow death of wrongful expectation. It's a painful thing to give up on what you plan. It's a painful thing to give up on what you hope for. It's a painful thing to let go of what you anticipated. It has been said, if you want to make God laugh, tell him what you got planned. She told them, don't call me Naomi. Call me Mara, which means bitterness. And she goes through a state of bitterness. And the bitterness is brought about when all of a sudden you don't trust your own judgment. You don't trust your own wisdom. And all of a sudden you're not so sure of yourself anymore. It is the slow death of your expectations. It may take you half of your life to give up on what you had in mind. Did you hear what I said? It may take you half of your life to give up on what you had in mind, how you define happiness, how you define joy, how you define peace. It may take you most of your life. Some people never give up on trying to make things turn out the way you want them to turn out. 50 years old and still manipulating. 60 years old and still trying to control all the variables, trying to force your today to be your yesterday. I just want you to be what you were. To ask somebody to be what you were is to ask them to go back in a time capsule. Ooh, it got quiet, Lord. Make it like it was. Anytime your faith turns backwards and starts looking in the rearview mirror, you are using it for something it was not designed to do. You You are asking faith to take you backwards. And faith has no reverse. Did you hear what I said to you? Faith has no reverse. It can never take you backwards. It will always take you forward. So here she is, and she's going forward under duress. She's stepping forward under duress. I'm going, but I don't want to go. Barely put one foot in front of another. She's going and she don't want to go. And here come this little gal running in behind her, saying, I'm going with you. She said, go on back home. Go on back home. I ain't ready to lead nobody. I can't hardly lead myself. She said, no. As the Lord liveth, I shall not leave thee. That God shall be my God. That people shall be my people. Where thou dwellest, I shall dwell. And where thou diest, I shall die. Orpah said, I'm going back home. I'm going back home. Ruth said, I ain't got no home to go back to. I don't have no reverse in my life. I can only go forward. Yeah. Hallelujah. Look at your neighbor and say, forward. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching to those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. I can only go forward. I can't change my yesterday. I can't fix it. I still don't know whether it was right or wrong. I don't know what would have happened if I'd have done this or that. But one thing I do know, I cannot go back to where I was. I can only go. My God, who am I preaching to today? Stomp your foot down, because this is time for you to go forward. This is time for you to break out of your jail cell and forget those things which are behind you and step into the light of your destiny and go forward. She had never been less sure of her decisions. She's trying to go forward over failure. Forward over success is okay, but forward over failure is a tedious process, because you're trying to go forward and trying not to do the same dumb thing I did before. Everything behind you looks murky, so you're not even sure how to make a good decision. Because everything that you did before, when you look back at it, you wonder, should you have done it? And you're trying to go forward. And you got this little girl following her. And here she is going forward. And she's going forward. And all of a sudden, she begins to understand as she begins to go forward, as she begins to take her mind off of herself and begins to pour her wisdom into somebody else. See, you will never get where God wants you to be being focused on you. Write this down and never forget it. Selfish people never succeed. If you forget everything else I ever taught you in all the 15 years I've been here, selfish people never succeed. Look around you. Look at the people you know. Look at how they scheme and trick and scheme. When it's all over, they never succeed. As she gives up on herself and starts trying to help somebody else, this old young girl, you're too young to be single, be by yourself. Come on, let me hook you up with one of my relatives. Come on over here. Come on, now this is you. Now bathe, and then they put some oil on, put a little cologne, and go sit at the bed and just cover yourself with his skirts, and tell him you're going to cover yourself with his skirts, and tell him he's a nearer kinsman than me, and just lay at the foot of the bed. See, she's been through enough to know how to position. To know how to position the young girl for the blessing. Look at your neighbor and say, if you get with me, I'm gonna bless you. Yeah. I've been through enough. I can tell you what not to do. I can tell you where not to go. I can tell you where not to stand. I can tell you what not to try. I can tell you how you got to position yourself to get ready for what God is about to do in your life. I can tell you that your eyes have not seen, your ears have not heard, neither have entered into your heart.
You're still caught up in what's going on in you. But if you're carrying the breakthrough anointing for that woman that's on your left and on your right, you should be paying attention to what God is doing and then become a midwife for that woman. Tell him you're going to get your joy back. You're going to get your peace back. You're going to get your marriage back. You're going to get your children back.
And so the Bible says that she succeeded in helping Ruth when she couldn't even help herself. Well, the Lord sent me here with a word for you. Just when you decided that you weren't gonna get what you expected to get, just when you decided that surviving was all you were going to get, God said he's going to take you from survivorship to success. I don't know who I'm preaching to this morning, but the Lord said you're going to have the baby and not the labor. This time God's going to give you the baby without the labor. I heard him say, I'll give you houses that you didn't build. I'll give you vineyards that you didn't grow. Somebody help me pray them. Slap three people and say, expect a blessing. Expect it. Expect a blessing. Expect a blessing. Through every trial, through every test, through every tribulation, through every storm, through every crisis, I expect a blessing. I'm going to give you 60 seconds to give God a praise of renewed expectation. Said, Mama, I'm expecting. Naomi says to Ruth, Gal, I am too. But this time, you gonna have the labor, but I'm gonna have the baby. I'm wondering if there's anybody in here that's got enough faith to believe God for a baby without labor. So when Ruth has her baby, she brings it to Naomi. She didn't bring it to Mara. She brought it to Naomi. You can't get it being bitter. You get your joy back, you're gonna see your baby. an old woman laid the baby in her lap, and all the neighbors came to see. And the weirdest thing, they did not say, God has given Ruth a baby. They said, God has given Naomi a baby. Naomi holds an expected end with an unexpected process. It didn't come how I thought it was going to come. God didn't use who I thought he was going to use. It didn't come when I thought it was going to come. Seemed like he would have done this when I was younger. But he saved the best for last. So she took the baby and put it up on her bosom and became a nurse. Some theologians say that she nursed the baby. That the nursing of the baby is the prophecy of the restoration of Israel. That milk would flow again. In your old age. That what you couldn't make happen at one stage in your life. Is released at another stage in your life. And now Naomi understands what it means to be an expectant mother. If things would have turned out the way she expected them to, she might have had children and grandchildren, but they would not have been kings. When they brought Obed and laid him on Naomi's lap, there's a little notation that says, and Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David. And all of a sudden you see why God didn't let it turn out the way you thought it should turn out. You was trying to have a baby. God was trying to have a king. And the moment you give up on what you had in mind, God said, my plan, is better than your plan. And I told you that my thoughts towards you are not evil, but are peaceful, that you might have an expected end. I could have done it sooner, but it took all of these years to get you to let go of what you had planned so that I could give you what I had planned. I'm out of time. I've got to stop there, but it's been such a joy to share the word with you. You know as well as I do that sometimes our notion of how our lives are going to be doesn't match up with our reality. This can lead to real disappointment, depression, and sometimes, worst of all, it can make you bitter. The book of Ruth teaches us that there may be twists and turns that we never saw coming, but God still has a plan. That's why you should not give up. Continue to trust God and move forward in faith and fervor and tenacity. He will fulfill everything he has promised you. You will find God's plan is better than yours. So trust him. Now I want to talk to you about a passion on my heart. Helping ex-offenders is near and dear to me. It is very, very important to me. Too often, former inmates aren't given a second chance, and so they eventually find themselves back behind bars. Many of you have sons and daughters who are incarcerated. You understand some have mothers and fathers who are incarcerated. You understand that even while we celebrate mothers and celebrate families, your heart is a little bit heavy because somebody you love and know that you would have liked to have seen around the dinner table is not there. That's why I established the Texas Ex-Offender Reentry Initiative. We call it TORI, to help ex-offenders by providing advocacy, education, even employment opportunities. We've seen fantastic results, but we need more partners to help us. Would you consider, I mean, really pray about becoming a member of the Global Partner Systems? We call it GPS. And together, we will help change lives. I want you to be a part of this. It's important to me. It's important to our community, to our country. Partner now. Come on. Go to tdjpartners.org today and help me change lives. 77% of released prisoners were arrested for a new crime within 5 years. Through our Texas Offenders Reentry Initiative, you can help ex-offenders move beyond their past to a greater level of purpose. More than 10,000 ex-offenders have completed the TORI program and successfully transitioned back into society. I want you to visit tdjpartners.org. You can be that missing piece to help reunite families.
Receive God's keys to unlock a blessed life with more favor, more faith.
You gotta buckle up, ride it out. Every blessing I ever had in my life, I had to ride it out to get it.
For your gift to the ministry of any size, you will receive Bishop Jake's message, You Are Blessed and Highly Favored on CD, and your very own 31 Days of Favor journal and print.
God was talking to you about greatness while you were in weakness, telling you to buy a house, and you backed up on your rent to abundance.
When your gift is $70 or more, you will receive our 3 message series, More Favor, More Faith on CD, the You Are Blessed and Highly Favored CD, and 31 Days of Favor journal and print.
If I pray right, I'll go to the next step. But God said, no, you're going to skip steps. Step over it.
When your gift is $100 or more, you will receive the More Favor, More Faith 3 message CD series, the You Are Blessed and Highly Favored CD, and 31 Days of Favor journal and print, as well as a designer blessed and favored mug set. Be forever blessed with More Favor, More Faith today.
Every now and then, ladies, despite what everybody says, you got to take your cute clothes off and throw your cute shoes out, pull your hair back, and climb on a rock and say, I shall not be. Oh! Does anybody know what it's like to be on a rock by yourself, fighting against things that try to pluck faith out of your mind? Hope out of your spirit, vision out of your heart. God is teaching you about you. He's teaching you about him. He's teaching you that he'll be closer than a brother. He's teaching you he'll be the best friend you ever had. He's teaching you that when everybody else walks out of your life and says, you dead, he walks in and says, breathe, 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 resuscitate me back to me. That's how you learn to worship him.
Feel free to reach out to us on social media and share your story of how God is impacting your life. We look forward to seeing you next time on The Potter's Touch.